Hello there.
So, Laura, guess what?
Chicken butt.
Oh, you stole my line. loser. No, but also yes. Somehow we got nominated for a thing.
Oh, my. Do we know what it is? Or what's the award? Is it best burps?
Burps, F-bombs, saying dick. Could be a lot of things.
Farting, but like silently. Yeah.
Toilet talk, literal toilet talk.
Yeah, no, literally. Those would be my guesses, yeah.
Well, you're wrong. Somehow we got nominated for an annual Top 10 Star Wars Podcast Award from Your Money Geek.
Oh, that's cool. That feels cool. I like that. I'm excited.
Yeah, so basically, we'll put the link in our notes. But you have 60 options and you can only vote once. And there's so many awesome people on there. So I know that makes it difficult. Vote for someone.
I know it's hard, but you need to pick us. So.
Yeah, I don't know how we got nominated in the first place. I'm like, we're kind of weirdos, but okay, cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
I mean, that's a lot. Like, I have this like Twitter list of people that's called like Star Wars Podcast. I think there's like 300 accounts in that list. So if this is only 60, like, they clearly already did probably a lot of like narrowing down already. But yeah, that feels nice to be nominated for something. Feels pretty cool.
Thanks everyone who nominated us. Really appreciate it. So voting closes on April 30th and then winners are announced May the 4th. So we'll see. Maybe we'll make it, probably won't, but hey, wishful thinking.
It's just an honor to be nominated, okay?
Truth.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So, thank you all. But this is episode 59 of Force Toast, a Star Wars happy hour.
It is April 17th today, and my name is Laura.
I'm Alice. Holler.
And when this episode comes out, it's gonna be 420.
Ooh, we're so cool and edgy. 420, we planned it. Not, we built out these schedules like a year in advance, so that's just where it happened.
Yay! No, it's all good. So what are you drinking today, Alice? What do you got? Anything?
Yeah, I'm gonna try this and hope I don't, like, get my eye wet. I've got a Coors Light.
Very nice. Very nice. You know, I didn't even say anything. You sound so much better in this episode than you did in 58. And I sort of admire you for getting over your COVID as quickly as you did, because I feel like anytime I get a sore throat or a cough or a stuffy nose, it just hangs on for like 3 months until I go to my doctor and I'm like, help me. But yours, it cleared up. Like, no lasting effects, anything like that?
Yeah, I feel much better. Taste and smell aren't 100%. They're like 70-ish, but still better than nothing. And what I'm a little bitch about are headaches. I hate getting headaches.
Yeah.
When I have them, I'm just like, oh, poor me. I can't move or do anything. But pretty much anything else, I'm like, okay, let's do it. So feel much better. I think I'm mostly recovered. Knock on particle board from IKEA. Hopefully it stays that way.
Yay. Well, that's really cool. I'm glad that you're feeling better. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun getting to tease you about getting COVID at the end of a pandemic, but that.
alas. All right. What are you drinking?
Well, Rose and I ran out last night because we thought we were going to have a friend over to hang out and watch movies and stuff. And we got a bunch of Hopewell beer. Hopewell is a brewery that's like right by my apartment here in Logan Square. And it's called Clover Club. And it's a raspberry sour. And it's really good.
Ooh, the can's really cute.
I know. They always do a lot of cute designs and shit on their cans. Now, I know you're not like, you know, you're not like a frou-frou beer drinker. But do you, like, if I asked you, do you like sours? Do you Do you know what I'm even talking about?
Nope.
Yeah. They're usually just like really fruity and have that, you know, that sort of tart sourness to them, but they're really good.
Huh. I mean, I try everything.
Yeah. Like, I feel like this is something that you would like. It's like, it's not a, like, it's not hoppy or whatever. Like, I can't stand beers like IPAs and pale ales that are hoppy. Like, it has absolutely none of that. It's just like citric, you know, sweet, fruity, tart thing.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's an excellent beer. I'm enjoying it very much. For the record, I also, because this is coming out on 420, I have gotten, I took an edible as well. So,
this is on theme.
Fun. Yeah.
I appreciate the dedication.
I love a theme, you know, I gotta say. It just takes me back to college. There were a lot of themed parties. So it's just, themes are fun. What can I say?
Yeah, we should have themed parties. We're grown-ups now.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. We should do, yeah, like a costume theme or something. I love themes. Like, I love Halloween and shit, so.
Well, you know, I do Halloween. I dress up because there's trick-or-treaters in the building, like the little kids. So I usually blare Disney music and then dress up crazy.
Cute.
Yeah, and hand out candy. And the parents are like, oh, yeah, we should have come here last. Like, we always forget you do this. I'm really into it.
Good for you.
Thank you. All right. Housekeeping, Laura.
Housekeeping. So in The Jedi Way, that came out on April 15th, John Rocha and I talked about Genndy Tartakovsky's Star Wars Clone Wars. That's the new part of Disney Plus. They uploaded that whole vintage Star Wars package, and so now you can watch this cartoon that aired on Cartoon Network from 2003 to 2005. Rocha was obviously revisiting it because he's old as hell, so he's seen it like a million times. And then I was watching it for the first time. So it was an interesting conversation to sort of hear what it was like for him in terms of holding up. And yeah, against my opinion, where I was just like, this is weird. So we'll get more into that later in this episode, because we're going to talk about Star Wars Clone Wars today, too.
Laura's going to edumacate me. All right, cool.
What do you got here, Alice? You were on Pink Milk?
Yes, I have something. I was on Pink Milk, their like After Dark show, and that was on YouTube last night. So that would have been April 16th. And I think the podcast recording version of it is going to come out on the 19th. And the topic was all Attack of the Clones, and I was so happy.
I bet you were. Did you wear your Jessica the Jedi wig?
No. I want an opportunity to wear that wig again. Blue Bantha Milk, please, like, nudge, nudge. Just put Jessica anywhere in the AI and see what happens.
Yeah.
Please.
So what'd you guys talk about on Pink Milk besides, like, Attack of the Clones? You know, anything specific? Anything that was really fun, interesting, new?
It was just an awesome conversation. I had a blast. I could have talked for, like, 5 hours probably just about little things. And Brian actually asked me to sell Obi-Wan Kenobi to him. And I was like, what do you mean? He's Ewan McGregor. Like, how do I do this? Sold.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Science sealed delivered.
Yeah, you're like, no, yeah, I got this. Everybody step back. Well done.
Trust it.
Yeah, that's cool. And you can be like inappropriate and silly on that show because it's After Dark, right? So it's a little not safe for work. Did it get weird at all?
Well, I mentioned how if I were stuck in an elevator with Bay, I'd like walk out pregnant.
That's gross. All right.
I wouldn't be complaining. That child support money, what?
Hey, getting that movie star money. That Moulin Rouge money.
18 years. 18 years.
Alice will get you.
Watch out, bae.
Mm-hmm.
Ulterior motives.
Yeah. Ew, gross. All right, so let's jump into news, if there's nothing else, because I don't think we had any Caravan of Corrections at all that I know of, that I remember, anything like that.
I don't recall any Caravan of Corrections. Either.
All right. Well, that's why we're nominated for awards. So suck it, everybody. So I wanted to talk about this only thing that I saw this week that was like sort of movie related, because the rest of the stuff we're going to talk about today is Bix, which is fun. But if we want to talk about the one movie thing that we had, it was just a very stupid rumor. But I just kind of want to know what Alice's take is. There's a rumor that started circulating on Reddit. It was like a week ago today. I think it was like around April 10th. And basically somebody wrote in the subreddit Star Wars Speculation about a Abrams cut of The Rise of Skywalker. So we all got the Snyder cut, and now fans just think they can demand the world. So, yeah, this is, you know, fuck you, I guess, Zack Snyder. This is the world you've left us in. But that's what's out there in a rather popular Reddit thread, because then people started tweeting about it, and other media sites picked it up, and I was just like, oh my god, what are your thoughts?
I hate shit like this. The Zack Snyder version of the Justice League, I get it. He had a horrible, horrible thing happen within his family.
Yeah.
And had to step away, and like his whole vision was fucked. Now, I'm sure having it redone, he probably could have lived without redoing it or changing it. I don't think they refilmed that much. I think it was mostly in like the post-production things, if I recall correctly. But, you know, I don't think fans should be in charge of demanding how things happen. It should be the experts.
Exactly. Because fans think that they know what they want, but then if that thing gets made, it's going to be bullshit, so.
Uh-huh. Hard pass.
But this thread that this person wrote this post, it's rather long. We'll post the link in our show notes if you want to go check it out. It's a fairly long post. And I read the first 8 bullet points, which is like the main point this person is making in this post, and I stopped reading because I was like, I didn't stop reading. I read the whole thing. But I stopped reading and I was just like, okay, this is straight up grade A bullshit. Like, everything that they said in the first 8 bullets was enough to convince me. I'm like, there's no way in hell that this is real.
Yeah, I mean, even if bits and pieces are, I just don't care. There's no point in wasting my energy or time or thought on something that doesn't exist or something that could have been. It's in the past. It's 2+ years in the past.
Yeah.
We have more stuff coming. Not everyone's going to like everything. And, you know, the world doesn't bend over backwards for your specific whims. And that's how life works.
Exactly. Yeah. But this was interesting to read through. There's a lot of talk about, like, you know, the theater or the studio, like, basically taking over the movie and cutting all the stuff out. And that's why we got this, like, really choppy movie. And then there's, like, all this other stuff at the very beginning about, like, Kathleen Kennedy wanting, like, Jon Favreau or Dave Filoni to be, like, the new president because, and the article is really strange. It says that if Kathleen Kennedy wants to retire or gets promoted, and I was like, wait a minute. Yo, dude, she's the president of the company. There's no way you can go any higher than that. Like, I don't know. What else is there, you know?
Maybe there's the president czar.
The allegiant president.
The super president.
I mean, like, maybe a board chairman might be, like, the next, like, I guess, most powerful position, but, like, that just seems like such bullshit that, number one, that she would think that and tell somebody, this random person who claims to have posted because they worked on all 3 sequel trilogy films. But this whole thing also said that, like, she wants, you know, Dave Filoni, Jon Favreau to step in. And it's like, I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
They're not built for that.
No. Jon Favreau is a creative. His skills and his strengths and his experience are not going to translate into running a film studio. That's, like, a big thing. Like, it just does not make sense. I don't understand why people are still talking like this, which was this whole point here was enough to convince you this person's an idiot. But yeah, that's a whole nother story we can go into. But basically, there's a lot of stuff in here about Duel of the Fates, which was the title of Colin Trevorrow's script of episode 9. There's a lot of talk about what was happening in that process and talking about how, like, all of the different people who took a swing at writing the script. And basically, the person's like, well, you know, is there a JJ cut? You know, here's what I know. And basically the answer is kind of yes or no. But they're like, yeah, they had like 4 hours of movie content. And it's like, yeah, the first cut is going to be long. Like, I'm sure they filmed more than 4 hours of film. But the first one's, you know, like, that's just, like you said, you worked on all 3 movies. Like, that's just how it works. So I don't think that this is, like, anything at all. Whoever this person is, it kind of feels like everything in this post is either, like, a rumor that we've heard before, or it's, like, information we already knew, or everything that they're saying in the post is, like, so general of a statement that it's just not saying anything. So I just, yeah, I don't think this is a thing.
Just a shit stirrer. Whatever. Okay. So that is all we will say about that.
The Abrams cut.
Whoa. No. Fuck that shit. All right. On to other news, which I'm pretty sure is all book related, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I think the rest of it is. But it's kind of cool. Excuse you. Bless you.
Yeah. It's super cool because the High Republic is awesome AF. Okay. Here we go. So they've said before that the High Republic initiative is going to have multiple phases, I think like three phases, and it's going to be spread out over years of like real people lifetime.
Exactly. And it sounds like all of the stuff that we have so far, like as of today, is part of the High Republic phase one, wave one. Because now we just got this announcement this week and April 12th, I think it was Monday, something like that. But the High Republic phase one, wave two has been announced. So we're not moving on to a new wave yet. It's just, it's not a phase, it's a wave.
Cowabunga, dude. Do people still say that?
I don't know, but I'm so happy you did. That was awesome.
Thank you. I don't know if we knew that they were going to break these up into waves, but at the base level, what we have now is all happening. It all starts at the Great Disaster, or for the most part, it starts at or around the Great Disaster and ends at or around the opening of Starlight Beacon.
Exactly.
Or it's very close to it. So wave two is going to be kind of that World's Fair that they talked about, where people can go visit and there's going to be stuff from all the other planets to kind of show off, showcase, what have you, whatever. Yeah. So we're in World's Fair time and I'm so excited for that because I remember when they announced it, and I think I was doing a live tweet maybe, when they announced it, I was like, oh my gosh, that sounds so cool. I love World's Fair stuff.
I'm sure I've asked you, have you been to the Museum of Science and Industry?
Of course.
Isn't there a whole World's Fair thing there, like an entire like exhibit or whatever about it?
If there were, it would have been like a specialty one. The Chicago History Museum has a section about the World's Fair.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. God, I haven't been to that museum in like 10 years.
It's so good. It's shockingly good.
Yeah, I remember enjoying it.
And it's cheap.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Which is a perk. And that's also where I realized that kids nowadays don't realize the Titanic was a real thing, because there was this one moving exhibit called The Secret Life of Objects or something, and it had these random objects like some table where the Civil War document was signed, some glasses of a murderer thing, which is how they caught the kid, some booth that a gangster used to use, and then there was like a plate or something from the Titanic. And the girls were like, oh, what? And I was like, yeah, the Titanic, you know? And they were like, oh, I thought it was just a movie.
Oh, my God. I hope that they don't represent their entire generation, but, like, ew.
I mean, it's probably a lot of kids, because people, you can't really go down there much anymore, because it's deteriorating. Like, I think I read by 2050, the wreckage is going to be, like, eaten by the sea.
Yeah, that sounds right. Oh, my God, that's so sad. I love the Titanic. Even now when there's like documentaries on like National Geographic or Discovery, I will turn them on and watch them.
Same.
Yeah.
Do you know they thought about trying to raise it for a long time once they finally found it? And one of the ideas for how to raise it was to fill it with ping pong balls so it would float to the top.
Oh my God, do it. We should go out there and do it.
Yeah, it would probably fall apart now, though.
Yeah, no, for sure.
That'd be a bummer, but yeah.
I was just about to say, because we're just going to keep talking about Titanic for a bit. So, isn't it weird to think, like, it's 2021, Titanic came out in, like, 1997, I think? So, like, that movie is over 20 years old. I cannot believe that.
I mean, I hate that.
Yeah, like, think about when we were growing up. Like, for us, Jaws was an old movie at the time. Yeah. Like, that was a 20-year-old movie when we were, like, kids. And yeah. That's what Titanic is to kids. That blows my mind.
Wow.
Yeah, I hate it.
Or, like, Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. Those mm-hmm. are technically... Or the first Harry Potter. I think the last one was in, like, 2011 or something.
Yeah, Phantom Menace came out in 99. Like, shit.
Crazy, y'all.
Yeah.
We're getting old and stuff.
I know. Oh, okay, well. So back to the High Republic. So the next book that's coming out, and there are actually two that are coming out on the same day, but we're talking about The Rising Storm. This is the adult novel that's coming by Kavin Scott. It's out June 29th. And yeah, so this is the Republic Fair, because Starlight Beacon's open, and the Chancellor's like, let's party! And so they do the Republic Fair exhibit. It's a showcase of the possibility and piece of the expanding Republic. That's from the summary that's on StarWars.com.
Oh, I'm so excited. And this Chancellor is such a badass with, like, her lion pet things.
Yes.
You know, like... And she's, like, her great works, I think that's what they call what she's doing.
Yeah.
She's just, like, awesome. She's doing such a great job. And I'm just curious how the Nile are going to pop up, like, what their next plan is. I'm hoping this book addresses the Loden Great Storm capturing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, because the title has storm in it, that it will. And I'm hoping we see some more Santecas. What about you?
That'd be cool. I'm just kind of excited to get to know, like, Stellan Geos a little better. He's, like, front and center mm-hmm. on the cover, so I assume that there's going to be a lot more of him in it. And I decided that after looking up, because I, like, read this name, and I was like, okay, wait, which one was Stellan Geos? And I had to Google it and look it up really quick. And there was, like, a different picture that I saw that from this cover of him, and he really does look like Hugh Jackman had a baby with White Jesus. Like, they are, it's, like, the perfect match if you find the photo. It's fucking funny. It's so funny. But anyway, oh yeah, God. I'm excited to see more of him. I like that character.
And he's the one who's, like, secret lovers
yeah.
with Avar Kress.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So, yeah, the possibility of peace of the expanding Republic and, like, naturally, Marcion Roe is, like, the hell you are having peace. So, like, naturally, the Nihil are gonna show up and they're gonna fuck things up, and I think we'll find out a little bit of how as we move down this list.
Yes. Oh God, I'm so excited. These books are amazing. Did you ever finish Into the Dark?
No, I'm really not, like, I don't know if I even made any progress this week, because I think, like, after finishing my match, I got really into my podcasts and stuff again, and I went so long, like, being neglectful of that list, and so now I've just been, like, catching up on podcasts ever since.
I mean, I liked Light of the Jedi more, to be honest.
Yeah. But,
hey, whatever. Okay, next book. Race to Crash Point Tower. Daniel Jose Older. Woo!
Yeah.
June 29th.
It's also out June 29th. It's a middle grade novel, which I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to read the middle grade novels, but I really enjoy Test of Courage, so I think I'll probably read this one too.
Same. I'm, like, all about it.
Yeah. They're so fast. It's so nice. But yeah, this story is going to focus on the Jedi Padawan named Ram Jamoram. He's a human living on the planet Valo. I was going to ask you, is this a new character? Is this somebody that's in Into the Dark, or do you know?
I think they're new.
Okay. Yeah, so he lives on the planet Valo, and that's where the Republic Fair is going to be taking place. That's the planet they're going to be on. And so this story is about the Nihil unleashing this surprise attack on the comms tower that's, like, I think near the town that this Jedi character lives in. And so he can't contact the Jedi to, like, warn them that the Nihil are coming. Because it sounds like in this book, they're going to, like, go around and probably destroy a lot of, like, comms towers in the surrounding area. So that, like, nobody can call for help. So, yeah, it's his race to try and warn the Jedi and contact the Republic for help.
I'm just wondering, like, I have no idea where this could possibly go, and I love it. But I don't think it'll be too in-depth or too dark, because it's a middle grade reader.
Probably not. But I thought it was still, like, it was still such an interesting story, that Test of Courage book, so.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah. The next one that's on our list is Out of the Shadows, which is an interesting juxtaposition to Into the Dark. But Out of the Shadows is going to be by Justina Ireland, and this is the first YA novel in Star Wars that we're getting from her. It'll be out July 22nd.
They are spoiling us with books this year.
This summer. Like, oh my god.
Yeah. Well, November's going to be at least two books.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's a High Republic book in there. October's going to be something else. December's going to be another High Republic, I think, if I remember appropriately. Though it doesn't even matter what I remember because they just change it anyway. But
yeah, that's true.
Hey.
Yeah. But Out of the Shadows is about a character who's Silvestri Yarrow. And I wanted to ask you about this one, too. Is that name familiar? Are they in Into the Dark by chance? Since that's the only High Republic one I haven't read yet.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they kind of made it sound like it was going to be a new character. And it's kind of cool because, like, this character is, like, the one that's, like, front and center on the cover art. And they are, I think, our first non-Jedi, like, non-Force user to be, like, a main character in one of these novels.
I think Into the Dark. There's a few, like, from the Shipping Guild.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. So this character, Silvestri Yarrow, it sounds like she goes by Sil. She is, like, working for her family's cargo business, and then she's drawn into, like, this squabble that's happening between two of the Republic's most powerful families over, I guess, like, this is ridiculous. It sounds like the Pioneers. Like, a patch of space on the frontier is what they're arguing over, which is fun.
Oh.
But like a handful of Jedi are also called into this. So this is where we're going to see the return of Vernestra Rowe. She was like the 15-year-old Jedi Knight who at the end of Test of Courage took on a Padawan. And his name was Imri Cantaros. So they're both from Test of Courage. And both of them are also asked to come in and like assist with this dispute on the frontier. So I'm excited to see her back. I think this will be fun.
Yeah. And then Jedi Master Komak Vidus
and
Wraith Silas. Don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but they're both from Into the Dark.
Cool. Okay.
So that's super cool. I wonder who these big families are.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll maybe drop another like familiar name, you know?
Yeah. Like maybe the Santecas come back into play here.
Yeah. Because they are wealthy as fuck in this time.
Or who else could there be?
What if their last name is Skywalker?
Maybe the Alderaanians,
like
the family Organa.
That's true. Or like Haldo's family or something, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Palpatine.
Yeah. Or like the Valorums.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool. Just like super obscure. But I'd take it.
Love it. Do it.
Yeah. I should write a book.
Okay.
Ha ha ha. Just joking. It would suck. Okay.
And the last one that I wanted to mention that was on this list is Tempest Runner. And we talked about this one in our last episode. This audio original is going to be by Kevin Scott. It'll come out August 31st this year. And it's the story about the Twi'lek Nihil Tempest, Lorna D. We talked a lot more about her last episode. Mm-hmm. But there's like comics and there's some like younger age stuff also in this article that we don't have to get into because we're never going to look at it. But I did want to just post really quickly for your appreciation, Alice, this cover of this comic that's coming out at some point soon. And it's Avar Chris riding a Rancor. And I think that, you know, you might be cool, but you'll never be as cool as Avar Chris riding a Rancor.
Ugh, she's awesome. I love the comics right now. Both of them, the adult and the High Republic Adventures that I think is supposed to be more child-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like that one better.
Interesting. I wonder if Kevin Scott wrote those too, because I know he's written some of the other Star Wars Adventure comics.
I think Daniel Jose Older is involved in them, but
okay.
I don't remember.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this fucking comic cover is cool. I have no idea what this is going to be about, but it just looks great.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So stoked. Okay, on to more book news that's not High Republic.
No, let's travel back. No, let's travel forward to the Age of the Republic. Star Wars Thrawn Ascendancy Book 2, Greater Good by Timothy Zahn is hitting shelves April 27th, so a week after this episode comes out. And I think it was just this week, Del Rey announced that they're going to be doing a live stream of a book launch event on Thursday that week. So that's April 29th, 2 days after the release day.
Nice.
It's between the Metaverse, which is somehow related to ReadPop, Penguin Random House, and the Strand Bookstore in New York. Those are teaming up to host this virtual book launch. And it'll happen at 8 p.m. U.S. time, U.S. Eastern time. And that live stream, you can get tickets to it for $5, or you can purchase a $29 ticket that gets you a copy of Greater Good and a signed book plate by Timothy Zahn, and then you also get the invite to the live stream.
Ooh.
If you attend the event, you can submit a question to Timothy Zahn through the thing. So that'll be really fun. It's going to be a conversation between Timothy Zahn and Del Rey editor Tom Holler. So I think this is going to be kind of cool. Yeah, I got a ticket to it, so I will at least maybe post some information if we get anything interesting out of it. But I feel bad, like, live tweeting something when it's like, well, you should pay money to go see it. Like, I don't know, but we'll see.
I think it's different just reading tidbits of information that people are going to post immediately after anyway than actually watching interactions.
Yeah, that's true.
Cool. Yeah, that's really exciting. I think you should live tweet it, Laura.
I could live tweet it.
All right.
I might.
Cool. Do it. It's your turn now.
Yeah. I haven't done it in a while. It's going to be fun to take a turn.
Yeah. I think I live tweeted twice in a row or some shit.
Oh, yeah. It may have been more than that. So the next thing we got to get through is the recap on tap. We're going to talk about Star Wars Clone Wars, and I think that's it.
Yep. That is it. Laura's going to explain it to me. So let's take a drink break, and we'll be right back.
Nice.
Thank you. We are back. Recap on tap. Laura is leading this one, and she's going to tell me about the vintage Clone Wars from the Jendi what's-his-face. And all I know are from your tweets that there are butt chins and ball sack heads.
Yeah. I wish I had been able to retweet, or I wish I'd been able to live tweet the rest of it, but I just watched 20 minutes of it one night and I was just like, this is fucking insane. So that's when I chose to start live tweeting, but I had to stop because I was preparing for the Jedi Way, and I needed to be taking notes and paying attention, and I was like, I need to stop doing this. So I only did the first 20 minutes, but yeah, it is real weird, and it doesn't really get less weird at any point. So there are less balls, but still the same amount of weird. So there you have it.
Okay, so when I looked on Disney Plus, it looks like it's three kind of movies. Are those seasons, full seasons of shorter shows?
I think one of them might be a trailer or something, because there's only two volumes. So the show's been uploaded, when it was on, it was a micro series. So the episodes, every episode of volume one and volume two, I think, are between 3 and 12 minutes long. But when you watch this, it's 130 minutes total broken up into two volumes. And so, the first volume, there is no way to really tell where exactly the episode break is happening. So that's kind of strange, and it's fine, but I'm just I kind of, for whatever reason, it kind of annoyed me, and I wish I could have known exactly where I was, but that's okay. So yeah, you can watch the episodes now on Disney Plus. They were released there as part of the Vintage Collection on earlier this month. And in general, I will just say this, that the animation takes a little getting used to. It's kind of a style that I used to watch a lot on Cartoon Network when I was growing up. I don't know if you ever watched Dexter's Lab or Powerpuff Girls.
Johnny Bravo.
Yes, Johnny Bravo, all that kind of stuff. So it's all that sort of same animation style. And so I guess this overall design sort of theme is very stylistic and specific to Jendi, who produced and wrote and directed all of these episodes in these two volumes. So the show is it's really fast paced, because again, we're covering 3 years of Clone Wars in 130 minutes, so the story moves rather rapidly. It's a lot of action, and there's a great saber duel between Anakin and Asajj Ventress. at one point, ooh, which is awesome. Yeah, it's really, really cool. So that's really fun. Actually, when we were talking about it on the Jedi Way, Roka said that it's his number one favorite lightsaber duel in all of Star Wars. And I was like, that's high praise. Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. There's also a really cool Mace Windu episode. So he, like, single-handedly fights off a bunch of, like, B2 battle droids and, like, a giant crushing machine. I don't know exactly what this thing is. It kind of looks like the Sandcrawler, but it's way bigger. And it has, like, this thing that goes down and just smashes the ground. for whatever reason, that's, like, one of the standout episodes. It's just really fucking cool. And then there's an episode that takes place underwater, so that's like the Quarren Mon Calamari episode arc in the Clone Wars, like the one that the Filoni Clone Wars, they have like an equivalent in this Clone Wars too. So that one's kind of fun because like the lightsabers look kind of different underwater. They do this weird like flickering thing. Like it's really, really interesting. Because remember when we saw lightsabers underwater in the Clone Wars, they were just, it just looked like a lightsaber. It really wasn't anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. They took it into a like a kind of fun, weird place in this one.
So was George Lucas involved in this? Because if Asajj is there.
I think that he like okayed it, but he like wasn't. I don't think he was necessarily involved. He probably got, like, a story by credit because they were his characters. But there might be some bad blood, maybe, between, like, Gendy and Lucas. Because when they decided to make the 2008 Clone Wars movie and then series, they booted this Clone Wars from the canon. So it's like that one never happened. And I think that they're, like, the people who made it aren't necessarily thrilled with that decision.
Huh. So did he invent Asajj then? Because I always thought she was Katie Lucas's. Or I guess that could just be the main Clone Wars Katie Lucas's character baby.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, who knows? Maybe Katie had like a writing credit on this. Maybe she was too young at the time. I don't know. But yeah, Asajj Ventress is in this. It aired 2003 to 2005. So yeah, I mentioned that there were a lot of like action-packed episodes, and with that is a lot of sequences with no dialogue and sometimes like no sound at all. Like it's a very like action-driven little, I would anticipate the script wasn't very long for this because there's very little dialogue in the entire show. So I kind of enjoyed this component of it because the sound design of the whole thing was like amazing. Like there'll be these really, really quiet sequences where the clones are like sneaking around on a jungle planet and the sounds of the jungle are like really immersive when you're like sitting and listening to it. So if you have like a surround sound system, I recommend using that because I was just using like regular ear pods and it just sounded so amazing. So the show's got it's got that going for it, and I don't know if that was like a remastering thing before they uploaded it to Disney Plus, but it just sounds so good. It's wild.
Were there any main characters that are new or that we hadn't seen before?
You know, one of them that stood out to me, and for the most part I don't think there really was. I didn't know that Ki-Adi Mundi, did he have a Padawan in any of the other stories we've seen? I feel like he didn't, but I couldn't speak to the Clone Wars like he might.
I don't recall.
So yeah, that was kind of the big thing that jumped out to me because I was like, because he's kind of a funny character, like he's kind of a pussy. So I was just like, how, like, I didn't even know that. Maybe he didn't, because like I said, this isn't canon. So when they remade the Clone Wars, they didn't feel any obligation to like be loyal to this. But clearly they kept, like, some of the story elements because that Mon Cala Quarren thing was in there. And there were a couple other episodes like that, too.
How's Obi-Wan in it?
Obi-Wan's great. So James Arnold Taylor plays Obi-Wan in the show. And it's different than the Obi-Wan that's in the Clone Wars show. Because he, for some reason, I really, really like how James Arnold Taylor plays it in this 2003 Clone Wars. Like, Obi-Wan is a little bit more serious of a character in this, and he doesn't really speak with that sort of exaggerated rhythm that we sometimes get in the Clone Wars TV show. It's a little bit different, but it's different enough to notice, and I think it sounds amazing. So, it's kind of, might be my favorite, like, non-Ewan Obi-Wan.
So, would you recommend this? Like, should I watch it?
It kind of depends. like, maybe not. I don't know if you would get much out of it. I gave this some thought because I was just like, what would I say if somebody asked if I would recommend this? What I, like, I think that's just the answer. It's just that it depends. Like, I kind of went into the viewing experience with, like, certain expectations about, like, certain story components that I thought were going to be included in this. But then, like, when those expectations weren't met, I was, like, kind of annoyed and I felt like I had wasted my time. Because I was like, oh, I thought this, like, random canon stuff, even though it's, like, just because it's not contradicted anywhere in the existing canon, like, you can kind of consider it canon in this. And so I thought there was going to be, like, some kind of interesting stuff. And I won't get into specifics because I don't really want to spoil, like, heavy story concepts of this. It certainly is interesting to go watch. But I think it's also just a product of its time. So, mm-hmm. like, I would have liked this when I was younger and when I was into things like Powerpuff Girls and Dexter's Lab, because I think people who were watching Star Wars in real time when you were, like, going to see the prequels in 2002, at the time that this show first aired on Cartoon Network in 2003, like, this was all anybody had in terms of content that was set between episodes 2 and 3. And, like, episode 3 wasn't out yet, and so there was just, like, that was, like, the only place you were going to get these, like, juicy story tidbits of the Clone Wars that Obi-Wan first mentioned in 1977. So, like, that was the first time you got any sort of view of what that was going to be like. So I feel like it would have been really exciting to see this then. And mm-hmm. it was also the first Star Wars animated series since the Ewok shows in the 80s. So there were kind of a lot of reasons to, like, be excited about this when it first came out. But when all's said and done, I think if you saw it when it first came out and you enjoyed it, it's definitely worth revisiting. John Rocha had a ton of fun revisiting it with me when we were on the Jedi Way earlier this week. But if you're watching it for the first time, if you can go into it with, like, no expectations and you have, like, an appreciation for the art of animation, you will certainly enjoy this. So yeah, it was interesting. I just don't know if you would really like... Like, there's a little bit of Padme in it. There's kind of all the, like, usual suspects, though, besides that. Like, there's a hand... Like, Shaak Ti, we get sort of some decent Shaak Ti content. Palpatine's in it quite a bit. There's some Dooku and Asajj, but very little. And then there's, like, a lot of shirtless Anakin, like, a weird amount of gradually becoming more shirtless Anakin, and a lot of B2 battle droids. This show really liked those two things. So there's a lot of those two things in it.
Roger, roger. I'll probably check it out eventually, like, when I just need something to have on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But,
okay, cool. Any last thoughts? Or that's about it?
That's about it. I think that, like, overall I'm glad I watched it, but I probably won't watch it again. But I definitely think it's, like, worth watching if you're just sort of interested in what was going on back in 2003. It was sort of interesting insight.
All right. Fair enough. Cool. Yeah. Very good. Okay. So should we move on to listener emails?
We certainly can.
Oh boy, here we go. Hearing from someone new, mm-hmm. from Maggie.
Okay, so yeah, I got a Twitter DM earlier this week, last week, I think, from listener Maggie about our last episode, episode 58. And her message goes like this. Hi there, I'm Maggie, big fan of Force Toast. I am realizing now, I guess I could be sending a message in as a user email, but I'm already here and I just wanted to send over a quick link. So, I was listening to your episode from Tuesday and I loved hearing all the Bad Batch speculation. Also, the deliberation about which Clone Wars arcs happened when. That's what we were talking about, got it. And by the way, she's like, by the way, I have no idea. Maggie says, I wanted to know if you have ever used the timeline that is over on Youtini, the same website that Eric Eilerson and the guys at The Living Force are from. They just totally revamped it and added like 1,000 entries to it. So now it includes every episode of Star Wars TV. She says that I'm kind of obsessed with it, not gonna lie. And I just thought of it today while I was listening to you guys. I thought maybe it could be helpful for studying in the future, perhaps. I don't know. Anyway, here's the link, and thanks for podcasting because I love your show. And yeah, she sent us a link to the Youtini website. So if you are familiar with their website, you can go to it, and then in the top right corner, there's a linked timeline. And you can look at, like, the High Republic timeline. You can look at, like, the Galactic Civil War timeline. You can look at the Republic timeline. So... There's, it does look really, like, snazzy. So I definitely enjoyed this. I'm glad that we got this tip from Maggie. And if this is helpful for anyone else, which I hope it is, definitely go check out utini.com and click on the timeline thing in the top.
Hell yeah, I love this. I have used their site for a lot of things, actually. So there's this thing called the bookshelf where you can keep track of all the books that you've read and own or that is on your to-do list and everything.
I have a list too. It's awesome.
Yeah, I had one on their version 1 and I know they're making a version 2 that I kind of beta tested.
Oh, cool.
But I don't know where that is.
Oh, okay.
I haven't tried looking it up in a while, so I don't know if it's been finalized, but their website is just so on point. And just to try and remember dates of things in bulk, I usually do the, like, what's coming out or what's new section on their site. But, like,
nice.
Oh, my God. Their site is awesome. It's so comprehensive, and it's really cool that they added this section. I had no idea.
Yeah. So thank you so much for the tip, Maggie. If you guys haven't looked at the Utini YouTube channel, they do really fun live streams, too. So definitely worth looking that up as well. And
they get lots of authors and they have really good conversations. They're like really, really solid conversations and they're really good at interviewing and they kick ass.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And they just added a bunch of new shows too. And I don't know if it's all Patreon shows or what, but I think they just added like a whole bunch of new topics and some focus on legends and kind of a bunch of, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Dope. That's cool. Lots of extensive material.
Woo woo. All right. Nice one.
Yeah.
Nice. Today's a burping day. That's what happens when we drink beer.
It was. Normally I get really bad dry mouth when I get high, but I'm not having a ton of that this time, so that's nice.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, here we go. Triffs.
Triffs. Triffs.
Triffs.
Triffs.
Triffs.
Triffs.
Triffs.
Triffs. Triffs. Triffs. Triffs. Triffs.
Triffs. T-R-I-V-S. Yes, that's how you spell it.
You got it.
Triffs. All right. What should we do today? I'm going to break out Trivial Pursuit.
I would love to break out Trivial Pursuit. I've got some right here.
Do you want to ask me first?
I would love to. Question number 1. Who notes that the Jedi Council is asking him to commit treason?
Anakin.
That is correct.
Yes.
What planet gives Yoda reason to declare around the survivors a perimeter make?
Geonosis.
It is Geonosis.
Holler. I watched Attack of the Clones yesterday to prepare for my pink milk chat.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Question number 3. Who advises your eyes can deceive you? Don't trust them.
Obi-Wan?
It is Obi-Wan in A New Hope.
Yes.
Yeah.
Boom.
Question 4. Which city's central computer provides critical information to R2-D2?
Which city?
Mm-hmm.
Provides Cloud City.
Yes, it is Cloud City.
Boom. Wow. Thanks, Trivial Pursuit, for giving me easy questions.
Yeah. Who covers his escape from the Geonosian arena with an escort of 2 Geonosian starfighters?
Count Dooku.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Which movie does not feature someone saying, "May the Force be with you"?
Okay. When this came out, only The Force Awakens, I think, was the most recent movie that was out.
Yes.
Is it Empire Strikes Back?
Return of the Jedi.
Oh, okay.
You've got the hard ones. All right. Question number 2. Which 2 qualities does Queen Amidala hope Palpatine can bring back to the Senate if he is elected as Chancellor?
Sanity and compassion?
Yes. Yes, Queen.
Yay.
Okay, number 3. How many of Darth Vader's limbs by the end of Revenge of the Sith are still all flesh and bone?
0, except maybe his dong.
Yay. I just like how it was worded.
Yeah. Limbs.
Question number 4. Who says of Luke Skywalker, he could destroy us?
Gotta be Emperor Palpatine.
Correct. Question number 5. What, according to Yoda, is always in motion?
The future.
Yes, ding ding ding. Good job.
I'm ashamed of myself for not getting that Return of the Jedi question. That May the Force Be With You one.
I would have had an idea, but that's no surprise. So there we go. That was a great trivia. Yay.
Yay. That was a fun one. Thanks, Trivia Pursuit. Good times.
Trivs. Pursuit. Boom. Okay. And I was able to spell Trivs, so that was also good. Cool. What to expect from our next episode?
Well, I mean, we're pretty lucky in that we get back to back 420 and then May the 4th. That just kind of works out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be on vacation that week, so next episode might be a little weird or different or may not happen at all, but that's the plan right now, is May the 4th. We'll have a new episode. Tentatively.
You'll get something eventually, we promise. We won't abandon everyone. Just we've got to live that freedom from pandemic lockdown life as is reasonable.
I get my second vaccine dose the week before. That's when I leave town. Oh, so it'll be fun.
Lucky.
Yay.
Cool deal. So we'll keep you guys posted on what we end up doing, because Laura's doing fancy shit. On to Toast 2. Laura, what you got?
Toast 2. Okay, I've got a few things. Number 1, last week I went and got a massage, and I don't know why I waited so long, but like I had this old massage therapist here in Logan Square who was like the real, she didn't do any kind of deep tissue stuff. And I was like, hey, I think I kind of need some deep tissue stuff. And she's like, well, then get out. And I was like, okay. And she recommended a different massage therapy place that I could go to where I could actually get that. And so I went last week and it was fucking awesome. So I may stick with the same girl that did my back. She, like, when she finished, she was just like, that was like really hard. She's like, that was about as hard as I usually go for like deep tissue massages, or about as hard as I can go. Cause I was just like, I don't know, I haven't gotten a lot of massages, and I was afraid she was gonna break me. So I was like, maybe don't. But then she was like, is the pressure okay? And I was like, you can go harder. And so she like beat the shit out of my shoulders and my traps, and I don't think I've had a headache since, which is that's a big thing for me. So yay. Fingers crossed that like what I'm doing for headaches now, I've gotten into a good rotation. I hope. Nice. Anyway, yeah. One other thing, I started watching this new show on HBO called Made for Love. I can't tell you the name of anybody who's in it except Ray Romano. I don't know the names of anybody else that's in it, but it's an interesting show that sort of is set in the future, where a man who basically is like running the Google equivalent in this show, him and his wife have been married for 10 years, and she decides to like escape their home because she's been living in this like luxurious place within the hub, which is what like the company makes, is these like virtual reality things. And so she's been living in this like virtual environment for 10 years and she's been wanting to escape. So she does. And you get to see what happens.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. I really enjoyed it. But there's only 8 episodes in the first season and it kind of ends on a cliffhanger. And I'm like, I need season 2 now. So yeah. Made for Love, HBO Max.
Interesting. You should check out The Nick. It's so good. Okay, cool. Anything else?
Nope, that's all I got.
All right. So my toast to is as follows. Mom, if you're listening, don't tell Dad, because I'm going to make it an unfortunate surprise for his house and dog training. So I have been talking about forever wanting to get Wednesday a sister and like a twin sister who, well, obviously by the nature of being twin, one that looks just like her. And the breeder finally had one that came out, and I'm going to name her Tuesday, and I'm picking her up tomorrow. And she's actually related to Wednesday. Wednesday is her aunt, because Tuesday's father is a little toy poodle, and this toy poodle, evidently his nickname is House Payment, because he has figured out how to climb fences into the Cavalier girl dog pen and has knocked so many up they have to put, like, they have to update the pens to have, like, a weird angle thing so he stops climbing in them.
Oh my
because
God.
I guess he's just, like, horny AF. But, yes, Tuesday's father's nickname is House Payment, which I think is hilarious.
Oh my
so
God.
I'm going to have two dogs. Wednesday's probably going to hate me for, like, a week, but she'll get over it. Pretty sure. And, yeah, that's my toast, too. I've been talking about it for a couple of years now, and I'm finally pulling the trigger.
Yeah, a couple of years feels like an underestimate. Alice has been talking about this for a long time, I think, and I have been trying to convince you to not, because you had enough on your plate. You had a lot of stuff going on over the last 2 years that were both supposed to be the year of Alice, and then they weren't. So I was just like, you know what? Now you don't have any of that going on, so do your thing.
Well, it's not often that the little ones that are twins to Wednesday come out. I mean, they hadn't had one in almost a year that looks like her.
So are her siblings not, like, black like she is? Are her siblings all the, like, the blonde?
They're all blonde, yeah.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. So her original name is Onyx, and I'm like, no, her name's gonna be Tuesday, this new one.
Love it.
Yeah, because Onyx is, I don't like that name.
No, me either. Tuesday's cuter.
When I texted Laura about it, she was like, I hate that name. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm not gonna keep it. Duh.
Yeah, pass.
Hard pass. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Yeah, so that's my main thing to be happy about, and I'm pretty excited. And that brings us to a close. So hope you guys have enjoyed episode 59. That seems like so many. Don't forget to head to that Your Money Geek thing and vote for us if you so choose. We'll see. Who knows? Not expecting anything fancy there, but whatever. Also, help us out. Spread the news. Tell your friends. Retweet stuff. And do 5-star review on Apple Pod.
Yeah, we would really appreciate that. All the links referenced in today's episode will be available in the show notes, so go check that out if you need to reference any of those, especially that Your Money Geek one, where you can go vote for us. And in the meantime, if you want to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, we're pretty much all the places that you can find podcasts. And if we're not on your favorite podcast app, please let us know.
Cowabunga, dude. The right last name, isn't it?
Tartakovsky. So yeah, sorry, Gendy. What did I say?
Arnofsky.
Yeah, that's okay. My bad. We'll just leave it in. It's not a big deal.
Horns honking. Ew.
Ew. I don't hear it.
Ew. It's probably donut. She fucking hates
What's
donut.
That?
Donut's a bitch, though.
What do you mean?
Donut?
Is that a toy or is that a person?
Donut's little... It's a dog.
Oh, okay.